Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
Welcome back to Talkville, folks. It's a crazy time. Tom's got the kids. His wife Jess is traveling, and his hands are full. He also has a mark on his face. It's a sunburn. If you're looking at it, you know that's just the way it goes. Could be his kid could have punched him in the face for all I know. I got a puppy, Charlie. You've seen it on Instagram. I had no sleep, but that's okay because this is life. And now I know sort of what it's like to have a kid. I can't even imagine that.
It's not even close. But I'm glad you're having this experience.
God. Oh my God, just crying.
Ryan, thank you for being here.
Ryan, thank you.
Sorry about last week.
Hey, happy birthday, Ryan. Yesterday was your birthday.
Yesterday was my birthday.
34?
Five.
35.
Uh-huh.
You're over the...
Yeah, I'm not being marketed towards anymore. I'm past the 18 to 34.
Yeah. Yep. Actually, I thought it was 18 to 35.
You don't look it.
Thank you.
Yeah.
I don't know if I feel it. We'll find out as the year progresses.
Yes. All right. So back to this. Talkville. Obviously, you know what the deal is. We watch every episode. We talk about it. We review it. Some people say I shit on it. I'm just honest. I love stuff and I don't like stuff. And I will tell you what I like and what I don't like. That's really that. Mention our socials, says Bryce. Of course. Talkville Podcast on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok. There's probably things that show it, maybe. I don't know. Talkville Pod on the Twitter. And if you didn't get a chance to call into our hotline and leave a question for this episode, make sure you do it for future ones. We love hearing from you. Watch us on YouTube. Write a review. It really helps the show. And the more people that listen, the better we'll do. We're still thanking our patrons for keeping this thing alive. Patreon.com/Talkville. If you want to join Patreon, become a patron, there's cool stuff. Tom and I are going to do a Zoom with all the top tiers eventually. We're getting around to that. But I will say that you guys are the reason, patrons in general, are the reason why the show is, you know, moving along. And I want to thank you again, because it's just a fact. So join patreon.com/Talkville. Without further ado, let's just get into it, man. I'm excited today. Let's get into season 2, episode 16. This is You Give Me Fever. Episode title, Fever, aired February 18th, 2003. I believe that's the day my grandmother died, but 2 years earlier. Anyway, no one cares. Director Bill Garrity, he also directed Visage, which is later. Is it Visage? No, that's what I had this morning. Visage. Writers, Matthew Okamura, only episode that he wrote. Guest star Emmanuel Vaugier as Dr. Helen Bryce, and Michael David Sims as Dr. Neil Moore. Synopsis. Martha falls into a coma after exposure to a toxic virus. Clark and Jonathan must race against the clock to save her life while also learning multiple deep secrets she's been keeping. I was surprised by this episode. When I look at the title, guys, I was thinking fever. Oh, great. It's another one of Freak of the Weeks, and it's some guy has a fever and he's sweating all over people. And
he's got COVID.
He's got COVID, pre-COVID. But I was surprised by this episode. It was dramatic. It was cinematic. We'll get into it. But overall, like, Tom, you want to say something? Say it.
Well, I think real quick, I want to get something out of the way. One thing that bothered me that I had to let go watching this. All of a sudden, there's kryptonite dust in the cellar.
Oh.
And that bothered me a little bit. But once you get past that, it's a fun episode. This feels like a more adult episode. And then going into what will be next, Rosetta, very adult, very
yes.
More big picture thing. But you and I talked earlier before we got online, very cinematic, very cinematic. This starts a really...
A start to the finish. Like it was a...
Well, but even smaller, it starts a focus between Clark and his father that has always been there.
Yeah.
But I think there's more of a connection there. And I think that, you know, when I was on the show, I didn't have children. John did. And I think he probably relied on that. I think I would have totally played this character differently if I had children at the time, because I just didn't know.
Yeah.
I got to play the guy who was like, I don't know what I'm doing. Dad, help me. And John was able to really do that. So that's my preface.
Yeah, I like that. The episode begins on the Kent farm with Martha walking down to the storm cellar with the ship key in hand. We know that she put that under the sink, remember, in the coffee thing, the Folgers. Good to the last drop, wasn't it, Folgers? No, that's Maxwell House. What was Folgers?
Best part of waking up.
The best part of waking
God,
up.
God, Ryan Goodwin.
Is effing Folgers
in your cup.
As Clark.
That was quick.
So Clark surprises his mother, who lies about why she's down there. And, you know, this could have been one of those things where an actor sort
she
of...
She didn't lie. No, she didn't lie. She didn't lie. She didn't tell anybody she was doing it. There's a difference.
That's true. But I also
and
like...
I mean that respectfully. She just didn't tell anybody.
Yeah.
But she didn't
I agree.
Lie.
I agree. But I like that she really sold it. Like, I believe that you would believe that.
Oh yeah.
A lot and of that, actors were sure. Like, oh, I'm just farting off. And I wouldn't have bought it.
A lot of the easy thing is distraction. And Annette always has that gravitas. I don't even know how to spell that word, but she always has that. She makes the moments for herself.
Yeah,
it's great.
I 100% agree. As Clark leaves, we see Martha bury the flower jar containing the key in the floor of the cellar. While doing this, she breathes in toxic meteor rock cells. Physically ill, Martha collapses in the Kent kitchen when trying to pour lemonade for her son and husband. I love that shot. You know, it's like through the glass or whatever as it breaks through her. That was just dope. That was a good. I wonder who came up with that. I'm sure, you know, it could have been. I don't know. Let's give it to Garrity. I mean, he directed it. No, he didn't. He directed it. Did I say that? No. Yes. Garrity. Bill Garrity.
Well, who did? Sorry, not to slow us down, but who's the cinematographer? Was it? Sounds like a Glenn move, because directors don't really throw the camera around.
It wasn't Dunleavy. He wasn't there yet. Did.
It says Glenn Winter.
I can't
Glenn
believe
Winter, I win. 1-0.
All right, so that's Glenn.
Okay, Clark catches her, and both men begin to panic. Martha gets admitted to the hospital, where Helen Bryce, Vogée, shares that they have stabilized her, but is unaware of the causes of her illness. Jonathan convinces Clark to leave the hospital, finish helping his mother, get ready for the charity concert.
Here's what I love. I love that we saw Lex make this connection with the doctor. We have not seen them out to dinner. We have not seen them laying down on a fur blanket in front of the fire in your office. We've never seen your bedroom.
We're certainly not going to see a sex scene because they'd cut it, but go ahead.
No, that's all I said.
We see Clark walking with Gateway computer in hand into the town and sharing the news about his mother with his friends. Dr. Bryce shares a few updates with Jonathan. Not only does she share her concerns for Martha's reaction to this unknown toxin, but she also tells Jonathan that Martha is pregnant, which means,
by the way,
John had sex with her.
Or somebody did.
Is that correct?
Is that the cut for Instagram? Somebody did.
Somebody had sex with Martha Kent. And we'll find out on the next Who She Banged. That's the next episode. Isn't it called Who She Banged?
I mean, the Die Hard episode. Her and Lionel spent a lot
die
of time.
Die Hard. Mm-hmm. That's the way I want to die. This is the secret Ryan Kelly mentioned in the episode Ryan, the pregnant. That's the secret. I did not put that together. Bryce did.
Me neither.
Lex arrives at the hospital to meet his boo and learns that Dr. Bryce may be leaving to advance her career with an opportunity at Johns Hopkins. I always called it John Hopkins. Johns. Who calls it Johns Hopkins? I guess that's his name. Johns?
Yeah.
All right,
it just sounds
Ryan.
Better. My brother-in-law went there, so I know
fancy
how
pants.
To say it.
I'm a hilltopper, and I'm proud of it. 2.2 to get in. Here we go. Their conversation is interrupted by Dr. Moore from the disease control agency. You know what I liked? I actually liked Moore. I thought he was very believable. I thought he did a really good job as this role. He came in and he crushed it. It was good casting. And sometimes they just hire a local and they'll get through it. I really appreciate his performance.
Well, the other thing is from a performance point of view, he comes in with a directive.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know what I mean? Like, it's very clear. I'm here to do this.
Yeah.
And that's helpful for an actor.
Amen. Moore from the disease control agency shares the severity of the situation of them not knowing the source.
Moore from the disease control.
Moore
I just caught
that,
by the
control.
Way.
Now Moore from the disease control agency, knowing the source of this toxin, and pushes his team to do a full search of the Kent farm to investigate. Clark rushes back home to the cellar. I like the little secret share in the hallway with Jonathan. You need to get back home. Get to the ship. That was cool.
Yeah.
Cinematic. A moment.
That's what it's all about.
While down there, he breathes in some of the same toxins that Martha did earlier. While driving with Pete to go hide the ship, Clark starts veering off the road and nearly passes out, exuding the same symptoms as his mother.
Pete has a cut on his eye. Ryan, did you... What's that?
Pete has a cut.
Do you know why he has a cut on his eye?
Is
not to put you on the spot, but like, is it a carryover from another episode?
No, I think I don't know why he just
he's got a big old thing.
Well, I'll tell you why. I'll tell you why it's not from the show, because they never continue episodes into the next episode yet. They weren't doing that yet.
Oh, really. That's true.
So it wasn't from the episode.
Oh, I mean, was he still recovering from Rush? No. We don't think
so. They never would do that in episode. If I had my nose was taken off in the episode before, it'd be back without an explanation.
We got to call Al at some point.
Well, he's going to be in the next episode. Him and Miles are coming on. I just told you guys that news. So now you know the creators are coming on for Rosetta.
I know. I was also just trying to get you to say that.
Bastard.
But not to get you to tell me that you told me that.
Yeah. Well, thank you. All right. So Clark gets out of the truck to try and push it back on the road, but he seemingly lost his super strength. Luckily, Pete helps him push it back on. That bothered me.
Yeah, that didn't really track for me in this episode.
No, it bothered me. It's like, oh, yeah, you and Pete are going to push this truck out of the ditch. You and Pete, without your superpowers. Boo.
Oh, it's just friendship. It was the power of friendship.
Power of Christ who compels you. It is he who compels you. The DCA team is full force on the Kent farm, tagging and bagging a bunch of Kent items. They head into the cellar, find the source of the toxins and the spaceship key. Clark and Jonathan are left trying to figure out why Martha has been hiding these secrets. I believe the last time they were here was when all the cows died in Zero, the episode Zero. Remember that? I love that shot of the farm and all the dead cows. I mean, I don't love seeing dead cows, but it was a cool show.
What?
Back in the hospital, Jonathan talks with his wife about her hiding the baby. Jonathan's confused, thinking it was an impossibility. Martha shares how during the tornado that the ship emitted a surge that coursed through her body, not impregnating her, but healing her.
So you're going back on what you said earlier. You said somebody.
Somebody. Somebody save me. She explains why she was hiding the spaceship key. She was afraid that Clark, learning more about his origins, he'd want to eventually hop in and fly away.
What I love about this is, like, I love the way Jonathan is sort of taking the lead in what needs to happen. And I think that I probably fell into that too, because I always got to look up to John Schneider. I could follow him in a scene.
Yeah.
Because he was always protecting me in a scene, as you did. You would always protect me in a scene too.
And you would do the same for me.
Thank God for you guys.
Later on, you would do that for me. You know, you would start helping me out. So, hey. You take some, you give some. That night on the Kent porch, Lana shows up to consult Clark. Mid-conversation, he passes out again and falls down the steps of the porch, hitting his head mid-fall. I like the look on
that was
Lana's
weird
face.
Because I saw Clark getting cold, and I was like, what is that, bad acting? And because I didn't understand what was happening. And then when he fell over, I was like, oh, I see, he's infected.
Yeah.
But I was like, wow, I'm a horrible actor right now. Why am I cold and she's not?
You know, anyway. I don't like my performance in this episode. For some reason, I just thought it was kind of stale. It was kind of boring. But it was dialogue wasn't like really there for me. It wasn't my episode. But I just
You were written to you. And Al has said this before, that they always wanted these crosses between our characters. You were written in to just not experience the episode, but to just come into them. And I think that's very difficult.
Yeah.
But
there's also a lot of information that, you know, that I obtained, and there was some good stuff. I'm getting a little confused because I watched both episodes back to back.
You were bad in the next episode too.
No, I think I was good in the next episode.
No, you were wonderfully vague in the next episode.
Wonderfully vague, wonderfully ambiguous, Ryan. Jonathan calls in Dr. Bryce, who rushes to the house. Jonathan asks for the doctor-patient confidentiality as he prepares to share why he cannot send Clark to the hospital. This was a great moment because I was like, wow, I don't remember that she learns about this. I guess she'll get killed. And then just then, we're shocked when the doctor is able to penetrate Clark's skin with a needle to do blood work.
I was actually literally thinking the same thing. This is a very effective storytelling technique. I was like, Jonathan's going to hit her over the head with a fire poker.
Yeah, something.
Something. Ryan thought the same
thing.
I felt
that way too. I was like, it was real. I was like, oh, there
it goes.
He's like,
you can't do it.
It's going to break. The needle's going to break. How are they going to do this effect? Boom, it goes in. I'm like, oh, I got chills.
Yeah.
Talkville is brought to you by our good friends at AG1. Yes, AG1. How many times do we have to tell you? how amazing AG1 is and that we use it all the time. For us, it's the energy, it's the focus, it's life-changing. It really is. You know, we've been doing this for the last few years, drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in with water once a day, every day, and it helps make me feel really, really good. I notice a substantial difference, and instead of taking tons of pills every day, this stuff's loaded with vitamins. This is, you know, prebiotics, probiotics, all of it is right here in one glass that you just mix with some water, and done. That's it. Start a healthy routine now with AG1. Tommy?
I mean, I love it. It tastes good. It feels good. It makes everything else feel good. As it works with your system, it's easy to say it's a good win.
Yes, I know. Look, we're getting essential brain support, gut and immune health, vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from whole foods. I like to think of it as a nutritional insurance. I know I'm covering my nutritional bases right from the start of every day. We take it in the morning. We take it when we travel. There's travel packs. It's all there for you. And change your routine, guys. Get it going with AG1. If there's a product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it is AG1. And that's why we've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free 1-year supply of vitamin D3 plus K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/talkville. That's drinkag1.com/talkville. Check it out. This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. We talk about this all the time. The stigma is going away. It's important for us all to talk about our feelings, about our life with someone we can talk to, someone who's objective, who's a professional. So many people have done this. I've been doing this for a long time. It helps. Ryan here, well, you can't see him, but he uses BetterHelp. So many of my friends do, and it works for so many people. And we all carry around different stressors, big and small. And at times we keep carrying them around rather than processing them and letting them go. When we keep them bottled up, it can start to affect us negatively. Therapy is a safe space to get things off your chest and to figure out how to work through whatever's weighing you down. Therapy from BetterHelp is helpful for learning positive coping skills and how to set boundaries. It empowers you to be the best version of yourself. It isn't just for those who've experienced major trauma. I know a lot of people think that. It's not for just those people. It's for all of us. If you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. You just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists anytime for no additional charge.
Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Talkville today and get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Talkville.
How do they do needles going into arm effects?
They're
is it just extra layers of
No, we did it.
They push in. The needle actually pushes in. It's not.
It's always gross. It always just.
Yeah, because we all hate it. It's something
we hate.
I never
like it.
No, we all hate it. And sometimes it's done better. Sometimes they'll actually. There's some movies now that they do a CGI where they push nothing probably and they create that.
No, in this episode, I asked for a needle.
Oh, yeah. I bet you did. Agreeing to Jonathan's demands, Dr. Bryce takes the blood back to the hospital, analyzes it herself. She's shocked at what she sees. Lex pops in again to lend his help to the Kents, but Helen refuses to break doctor-patient confidentiality. The secret could have been let out.
Respect.
The next day, that's Chloe a lot of respect. Rolls up to the Kent farm to annoy people in a drop-top VW Bug, which also annoys people. I love her. I love her performance. I wasn't sure. You know, I meant not Allison, but
dude,
you know, Chloe
her performances
is like,
are perfect.
Her
character
perfect.
Is annoying.
What I'm saying, yeah, I'm saying the character is, of course, she drives a bug because she's always bugging Clark and poking into people's business. Visibly distraught, Jonathan welcomes her in to see Clark. Chloe talks to the comatose Clark and shares her feelings for him, not wanting to regret missing the chance if he's gone. Tears in her eyes, she lays it all out. And the ultimate gut punch to this vulnerable moment from Chloe comes when Clark mutters, "Lana?" I wanted you to go, "Damn, who's that?"
Oh, I was like, Clark is definitely hearing this. Did you guys think or assume that Clark was hearing it?
I thought for a second and he was, but then he would never do that to Chloe. That's just too cold. He would never do that. So I didn't think
not
so.
On purpose. He thought it was Lana, but he heard it. So now he's thinking Lana said that.
I never thought about that.
Huh.
Hmm. Thanks for making me think.
Anyway.
That night, Clark catches his father leaving the house to go retrieve the spaceship from Pete's house as a last-ditch effort to try and save his wife, who might not make it past the night. For once, we see Jonathan getting his own hands dirty, breaking in. This bothered me. It was just too easy. It was pathetically easy. It's like, come on.
It's like breaking into the caves.
And he's not even a criminal.
You know, the caves with all the kryptonite stuff in there, we've never seen that guard that we keep talking about that Clark gets back. There is no guard. And in this situation, the same thing. He kind of, this highly secured place, he just... Yeah. There's helicopters, there's assault vehicles, there's military.
Yeah,
Jonathan knows what he's doing.
He breaks into this guarded DCA to steal back the spaceship key. Before he can make his escape, a guard stops Jonathan at gunpoint. Luckily, Clark disobeyed his father and left to join him, knocking out the guard so they could both escape with the key, which is crazy. They both escape. On their way out, they're spotted and chased by the DCA, who eventually catch up to the pickup carrying the spaceship. This got me. However, it turns out the Kents have done a bait and switch, and it's actually Pete who's driving. The first thing I thought was like, they gotta make it the black guy. Right? Well, they gotta make it the black guy. That's not cool.
He's the friend.
You thought it too, he's Ryan?
I did. No, like, yeah, a thousand cops surrounding a black man in a car who they're trying to
did you also notice that the first thing they do when they pulled him out of the truck is they put a gun to his head?
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Like, literally like that. But look, he's the distraction.
Back at the hospital, Martha gasps for air and turns unresponsive. It's all hands on deck in the hospital room to resuscitate her, but it seems like it may be too late. Martha is pronounced.
By the way, it's all hands on deck and it's all women. Did you notice in the room, there's only women?
Martha is pronounced dead. So while this is happening, the Kent boys drive the ship into the parking lot of the hospital. Place the key in its spot. Watch as it begins to hover. The ship emits a blast of light throughout the entire hospital, reviving Martha and healing Clark. And nobody at the hospital sees anything or questions what the F happened.
I did think, did everybody just sit up from their beds? Like everybody, every patient in the hospital? And did every person who wasn't sick feel better? You're right. There was no reaction. Listen, I really hope not one writer of Smallville ever watches this podcast because they would all hate us because they're like, we are just trying to make this work.
Well, look, I'm going to say this. Why is it? I thought the ship was with you, sent down from Krypton with Clark.
Mm.
And which is kind of funny if you think about it. It's called Krypton, but they call the thing that kills them.
But is this Lex talk? This sounds like Lex.
It Kryptonite. You think kryptonite.
I'm sure this has been covered on nerd podcasts Krypton. For decades.
On Krypton. Why would it have it? It should be on another planet that can't kill Kryptonians. I don't know what I'm talking about. Listen, here's what I will say, Tom. If the ship's there to protect you, why does it save Martha? Why would it care to save Martha? Am I wrong?
Sorry, you just said save Martha, and it made me think of the Batman v Superman movie that just came out.
Oh, because
that was the big twist.
Called Save Martha?
No, that's the big twist at the end is that Batman and Superman, they're supposed to fight each other, but their mothers have the same name. So Batman's got Superman pinned and Superman goes, Save Martha. And he's like, why did you say that name? Martha's dead. It's dumb. Anyway, you said Save Martha and it made me think
of
that.
It made you laugh.
We don't have to.
Wow, that's confusing.
I like it. No, keep it. It's good.
People know.
I think that ship is protecting the family and then we'll find out in the next episode how it exalts Clark into his next stage. But I think this is, I don't know, there's a lot, it begs a good question.
Yeah, I like that. I think you're right. The next day, the Kents reconcile as a family and claim to be saved by a miracle. Lex meets with the DCA worker who he has seemingly paid off to receive the files they've been keeping on Martha. This is a very Lionel-like move. Yeah, I was like, whoa, we're getting a little too dark. Back inside the hospital, Lex gifts Dr. Bryce with a key to his mansion, asking her to move in, despite wanting
a little aggressive. It surprised me that he did that.
Yeah,
but I did like the whole thing of play of like, they'd be lucky to have you. I'd be lucky to have you stay. I did like that romantic side. I did.
Yeah. It was a little much. It was a little hokey, but whatever. Despite wanting her to follow her dreams, he also doesn't want to miss out on the opportunity of being together. Lana meets up with Chloe inside the Torch and the two discuss Clark's recovery. As Chloe leaves, Lana finds a crumpled up paper with the emotional speech that Chloe shares with Clark, leaning her true feelings for him.
We already know she said it to Clark, but the fact that she had written it, it's another level.
Here's my problem with this moment. They ruined a moment with Lana by hearing her effing voiceover. Have her, we don't need, it was distracting. Just have her looking at the letter. We know it's the letter. Here's what I would have done. Move in on her, push in on her. She's reading the letter and just hang with her for a moment. And then she looks up, concerned, sad, and we cut. We don't need to hear, dear diary.
I
remember the
Ryan,
first time I met Andy.
Correct me if I'm wrong and Bryce jump in. Is this the first voiceover in the history of Smallville?
No, because
we don't do voiceover.
We hear Chloe's too, right? Oh no, she read it out loud. That's right. She read it out loud. All right. We get played out to the charity concert by Stedman with Lex Luthor on the drums.
I'm so glad you said that. You beat me to the punch. Thank you.
Clark thanks Chloe for visiting him when he was sick, and Lana shares her conflicted feelings for Clark. You know.
What if that was you? Like, what if Lex was just like...
this is funny. Precursor to Smallville band appearances. One member must look like Lex Luthor.
Remy Zero.
You gotta have a bald guy.
There was another one too, I think that was. All right, the highlights and lowlights, things we remember.
If you're shopping while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast, then you know and love the thrill of the hunt. But are you getting the thrill of the best deals? Rakuten shoppers do. They get the brands they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Macy's, Adidas, Walmart, Nike, Wine.com, Samsung, Lenovo, Sephora, and more. And even stack sales on top of cashback. It's easy to use, and you get your cash back through PayPal or check. The idea is simple. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy. Woo! And sadness. Oh. And anger. Definitely some disgust.
Rose!
And I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Look, at the charity party, the end of Fever, Pete hands Clark a CD and tells him it's the Talon mix. If you look closely, you'll see that it is actually the soundtrack to the series.
Oh.
This is the first and only episode in the series in which Jonathan has the most screen time, which is surprising because that one episode where he was drunk and all that, you know, we played out different scenarios.
The other surprising thing is if you look at the minutes of the episode, he was front loaded in this episode. Toward the end of the episode, you don't see Jonathan at all.
Yeah, you're right.
So he was quite front loaded, if that's the timing of it. Bryce.
In this episode, yeah. Pete mentions X-Files. Both shows share a visual effects supervisor, musical composer, and numerous guest stars like Dr. Moore in this episode. The season 2 DVD contains a deleted scene in which Clark and Lex discuss Helen and her impending departure for Johns Hopkins. That would have been important or nice. Help the scene when he asks her to move in before that.
Especially when after this episode, we probably never see her again.
Yeah, we do. I remember a scene that we see her in. Clark encourages Lex to do something to keep her. That was needed. But they chose something to help Clark's story. It was more important, which I understand.
It is Clark's story.
It is. Chloe's letter reappears in season 8, episode 4, Instinct. But I wasn't in it. This is the hotline. Ryan, give them the number.
213-JET-CUTE.
Patron privilege. We're going to talk to Karen first. I love you. Thank you for supporting the podcast. Become a patron. You could have questions asked here too. Here's Karen. Caronian. She's from-
Hi, guys. Karen Apple M from Australia. Just a quick question about fever. Tom, was it hard to lie still while Chloe was pouring her heart out to you while you were lying on the couch? Were you in the moment, secretly dozing, or trying to work out when to say your classic line, Lana?
Good question. What were you thinking, dummy?
In the moment?
In the moment?
That's a good
I love
that. That is a very good question. Secretly, what we did on her close-up, I wasn't there.
Mm-mm.
And it was something I asked her. I said, Allison, you know, me laying there and you talking to me and this and that, what if I wasn't there? And she goes, awesome. I wasn't laying there.
Wow. I bet you were there for a wide shot, right? In the like one,
yeah, but, you know.
I mean, because you're there.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
In the wide shot.
But it's a very great question. And I think the answer is kind of good, too. Like, there's a lot of thought put into it. Because otherwise, I would have thought about anything other than what she was saying. Maybe even put earplugs in. Just so, because you're not supposed to hear it.
Yeah, it would have been difficult trying to think of something else. Like, I probably would have been thinking about lunch. Or what I'm going to do on the weekend. Or if I can catch a flight.
You and Brando. Yeah.
I'll tell you, I wasn't there.
It's a good scene for you to do after lunch, actually.
Oh, yeah. Just have a nap.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's funny. Michael Rooker, a buddy of mine, in Guardians.
Who never gets angry, but apparently
he's lying
does.
Down in a scene. He's passed out or something. Oh, no. He's there. Yeah. And he wasn't dead or anything. He falls asleep. And while Chris Pratt is giving his lines, everyone can hear Rooker snoring. And this is what's even better. He wakes up and laughs. And then they keep doing the scene. And he falls asleep again and starts snoring again. True story. Here's Ray Harada.
I mean,
Ray?
Hi, it's Ray in Japan. And I have a question for season 2, episode Fever. So in the end of the episode, when the ship heals Clark and Martha, do you think the ship knew to heal Clark and Martha? Or did it just heal everyone in the vicinity and actually healed everybody in the hospital as well? Thanks. Goodbye.
Good question, Ray. The answer to that is we don't know, but you'd think it would cure everybody in the hospital. It'd be a miracle for everybody that day.
Well, the question it brought up to me, which is fun as a viewer, is Martha's pregnant. She's having difficulty herself. The ship heals her. So what does that mean going forward for the baby? It's an unanswered question, but it's the one that I thought of. Like,
yeah.
So what now?
Yeah.
You know?
Hey, this is Moy from New York. So the CD Pete Hans Clark, the talent mix, did any of you knew that this CD is the soundtrack of the series before or after the airing of this episode? And do any of you own the talent mix CD? Okay, thanks. Love your soundtrack. Bye.
Love you. I do. I own it. And I've given it to as prizes, Tom, for the Smallville Nights. I still have some talent mixes downstairs.
Oh, my God.
They're probably worth 8 cents. Here's Suzanne.
I will say, specifically to that question, we did not know at the time. I'm sure Sam, who played Pete, didn't know.
Nope.
I didn't know, nor did it ever occur to me that that was the case. But it's fun now to watch the episode and enjoy that.
Agreed. Thank you, Moy. Moi. Here's Susanna. Oh, Susanna.
I love that Pete just rides dirt bikes. He's a DJ,
hey,
races
what's up,
cars.
Fellas? This is Savannah from Los Angeles. Did anyone else mistake the two other bald men in this episode, one in the hospital and one in the band for Lex? Because I did. It's weird that it happened twice. Anyway, thanks. Love you. Bye.
Everybody's catching these bald guys. Not everybody's Lex Luthor because they're bald.
I was one for two. I caught the band guy. I didn't catch the
I didn't even
Oswald
think about man. When another guy's bald and it's Lex Luthor.
Wait,
am I
is
the
she
only one
about...
that's allowed to be bald in the show where it's distracting?
Is she talking about you because you were in the hospital for like 3 scenes talking to your girlfriend, telling her to move in
yeah,
with you
I
when we've never seen you
a bald guy
together?
You know what we should have
I didn't
had?
See the other guy.
You know what I should have had is like I walk down the hallway and we catch eye contact and we go, head nod, what's up?
Do bald guys like, do that?
You know, like, hey. What's up?
I mean,
there's this theory that when you see somebody you know, you look up, and when you see somebody you don't know, you look down. And I might have that backwards.
I know you're right.
Apparently, it's a guy thing.
Sort of like when I see.
I think
somebody,
it's down. If I know you, I go down. If I don't know you, I go up.
If I don't want to talk to someone or make eye contact or even have the remote feeling that I want to talk, I look down or do something. I want out of there.
Yeah, it's a down move.
Here's Steven.
Hello, my name is Theo from down south in Cornwall, of England. There's a particular scene where Chloe comes into Clark and reads him a love poem. I was curious if the writers kept trying to make Chloe be more of a tragic character, as it seems that whenever we get a really big episode about her, it seems to be mainly about her love with Clark. And I find that's a bit, you know, because she's never going to get it. Anyway, thank you so much for doing this, and hope to see you soon.
Oh, thanks, Steve. Stevane? Look, I agree. I think I think when you have a character who's always jealous, a character who's always like brokenhearted, a character, it's like kind of like the Eeyore from Winnie the Pooh.
Oh, Baba, thanks for noticing me.
Thanks for nothing, Clark. Threw my heart out, and you just turned me down for Lana. You're a real asshole. A
nobody had more trouble with that than Allison and Kristen doing those scenes together. Because I'm pretty sure, you know Kristen probably even better than I do. Kristen's the kind of person who'd be like, snap out of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And Allison's also like smarter than that. So they were like, that's a lot of acting in those scenes.
Yeah.
God bless them. They were playing their characters.
They worked their ass off. They did a great job.
Yeah.
But they didn't write it.
Yeah.
John.
Hey guys, this is John from Yorktown, New York. Tom, this question's for you. When Clark and Lana are talking on the porch, Tom, I was just wondering, was that you? Was that a stunt double? And if that was a stunt double, how'd they pull that off? Because it looked like it hurt. Thanks, guys.
The fall, stunt double. I mean, that's just the quick answer. I mean, there's no sense falling if no one's going to see your face. And although I did a lot of stuff on the show, it's just time you don't need to take. I mean, it sounds ridiculous, but
no.
I mean, how many times did Lex hit his head? Like, you're not going to be like, oh, I got this one, guys. You know, there's a way to fall. I actually learned on Smallville, I actually took some stunt classes and I learned how to fall in order for my stunt double to do it better. Because you roll with it is basically how you fall. And it works for skiing and snowboarding, whatnot. Then you can cut all this out. But in the quest, the answer is, I leaned, the stunt double fell.
Good. By the way, if you hear squeaky toys or barks or anything, we're not editing that out unless Jason can, because I have a brand new puppy and I've had him for 24 hours as of right now is 24 hours. And you know what, Tom? I think I told you this, but I didn't know this. My friend Jess goes, you know that Irv passed away on the exact day that Charlie came. He passed away two years ago.
I saw that.
The day.
And you know what that day was?
Yeah.
My birthday.
Your Ryan's birthday. Ryan's birthday will be the day Irv was put to sleep. And the day I got Charlie.
Yep.
All right.
But that's amazing that he's a part of it now.
Yeah, it really is. Estevan.
Hey guys, Estevan G from Texas and from Patreon. I'm calling just to ask you guys, the disease control agency shows up when all this stuff starts happening. With all the kryptonite and kryptonite dust that you would think would make people sick, why do you think it is they haven't just closed Smallville down completely? All right. Have a good one, guys.
It's funny because we have to, because it's a television show, you have to. But look at Lionel and Lex being like, there's something here. Let's continue to investigate. Let's continue. Estevan's right. How about everybody just, it's Chernobyl. Everybody get out.
All right. Here we go. This is the last question. This is Jared Jewelers. Here we go, Jared. Make this one a good one. Jared?
Hey, guys. This is Gerhard Patterson calling in from New Jersey. When Martha goes down to the storm cellar, why is it just now that there's meteorite, you know, in the atmosphere, in the dirt there? My theory is that when the necklace was essentially broken in the episode 11 Visage, it comes from the debris of that. But that was also like 5 episodes. What do you think of the writing there? How do you feel about that?
We know how we feel after listening to this episode.
I don't know if the necklace thing that he mentioned tracks for me. I just maybe don't have the knowledge.
Yeah.
But it's the first thing I said was like, we got to set that part aside that there's kryptonite in the where.
Yeah, you really do. You really have to set it aside because it definitely annoyed the crap out of me. It was one of those things where I'm like, this is where the ship is. And wouldn't the ship just like get rid of it? Do something? Well, the ship, if the ship wants to heal something, why doesn't it get rid of kryptonite?
What's up, everyone? It's Reality Steve, your number one source for all things Bachelor Nation and reality TV. Every day, I'm giving you the behind-the-scenes juice and your info on all your Bachelor Nation stories and also interviewing some of your favorite reality stars. My name has been synonymous with spoilers, but I'm so much more than that. Give me a listen.
The Reality Steve Podcast, part of the Believe Network. Just search BLEAV on YouTube or wherever you listen.
If the ship was lit and ready to go and Clark was in trouble, the ship would help Clark.
No, I agree. And also, like, then you go, or is the ship affected by the kryptonite? Which is, I don't know. That's a, you know, that's a call Al moment, which we're not going to do right now, but it's a call Al moment.
I think it is. AJ, this is a text. I think this is, it says AJ, I guess for Ryan, even though Talkville generally avoids spoilers, there have been a few future plot lines or episodes names mentioned. How do you feel about potential spoilers like that? Will that affect your perspective on those future episodes?
No, because they're usually vague enough. Like just the names of the episodes. Because, I mean, it's all about, they're good about their one word episodes meaning anything. I think it's okay.
Yeah.
I will get there eventually.
And I also think that, like, you can give a shit. Like, you know, it's like we're talking about this stuff and we throw it at you, but you're not going home going, huh, I wonder what they meant.
No.
You well, know listen, if you,
I'm not worried about
if,
it.
If you're not, Thanks, AJ. One of the people listening to this podcast who's watched Smallville in its entirety three times already, you probably like the spoilers. Because when I watch other shows, I like a little spoiler is good. And a lot of times I will watch multiple shows before we do a podcast. So it's in my mind.
Yeah.
Like this next episode is really important. So there's a spoiler to that. You know, I think it's fun, and other podcasts that I listen to, I enjoy it.
You know, I just thought of something, non sequitur. My friend Dan, on our horror movie nights, he went to see Avatar, the new Avatar, 4 times in the theater. A 3.5 hour movie or some shit.
He doesn't have a job?
4 times. I wouldn't even get through the through one. Every movie nowadays is 2.5 if you're lucky. Back in the 80s and the 70s, most movies, with the exception of a few that were great and you were like, cool, every movie now is 2.5 to 3.5 hours. Back then, they were 1.5 hours. You'd say, hey, let's do a quick movie.
Dinner and a movie. Dinner and a movie.
By the end of this movie or some of these movies, I want to sleep. I don't want to hang out anymore. I don't want to go out for a brew. I don't want to go have some nachos at the Hard Rock at Universal City Walk. It pisses me off. Hey, we made this movie 2 hours and 900 minutes. Why? And you watch it and you're like, you could have easily made this movie a lot shorter. With the exception of a few, it's bullshit, man. And a lot of people feel that way.
I agree. I'll never know because I'll never watch that movie because I have no interest. So. But it's funny that your buddy, I think that's an Inside of You podcast interview. You just start out with, let's dig into why you did that.
I guess he wants to get away from his family.
Does he have a family? Does he have a job? That's where I would start if I was interviewing
no,
him.
No, he has a like, he good have job. A, and he work. You know what? He does work in visual effects.
Where does he find the time?
Oh.
What did he say to his wife? I'm going to go see that movie again and one more time.
Who would want to see
and
it?
Just to be certain, 2 more times? How's that covered? Ryan, you can say that to your girlfriend. I'm going to go see this movie again.
I haven't seen
it. I'm going to see it. I just got a new 4K projector, and I'm going to watch this shit. I want
to
see
you have,
it.
If you're going to see it, you have to see it in the theater. I do say that. I don't have that around me here. So eventually, I will, but I'm not in a hurry.
Look, James Cameron is a genius. I like this non sequitur. James Cameron is a genius. I think he's one of the best ever. It's everybody knows that. But
well, you had that interview with, what's his name on your other, on Inside of You?
Who? Oh, yeah. Michael Biehn. Yeah, he talks all about
Michael
that.
Biehn. That was amazing the way he sort of put his perspective on it as a friend, because a lot of, you don't get that perspective on James Cameron from a lot of people.
Yeah. Here's what I will say lastly, and then we'll close this out. When I watch a movie like Avatar, if I had to sum it up in 6 words, I would be like, this is me throughout the 4-hour movie. Wow. Holy. Cool. Amazing. Over it.
That's 6.
Okay, 6 words.
There's your 6 words.
Over it. With an hour and left, I'm over it. I've seen it.
And then at the end, if I said, what was the movie about? You'd probably say, protect nature. That's what it's about.
And a civilization, maybe?
Well, which is the nature of
the video. I don't know. I couldn't tell you what happened.
It's okay. Ryan, make a note. Let's cut this all out. But anyway.
I kind of like it.
You know what?
All right, I'm here never we go. Gonna work for Rosenbaum. James Cameron, Rosenbaum rating system. Three roses. You know, I got in an argument about this too. My friends were like, dude, what the half for roses? What? I go, it's not your rating system. Shut up. And by the way, if you give something three roses, it means it's the best thing you've ever seen. So if you think it's not the best, 2.5 roses. That's right. You know, it's. Let's go. What do you give this episode, Ryan? Be honest though. I could tell you didn't like it a lot.
I
wrote mine down.
You gave it a half a rose, Tom.
I was going to give it a half a rose.
I thought it was trying, but it really didn't get there. I would not show this episode to somebody if they've never seen Smallville. They'd be completely confused, first of all. And I thought it looked great. I thought the performances were great. I just think it's not the, actually, that's the it's the least rose I've ever given.
You know what? I'm going to give it a half a rose too. And I'm going to tell you why.
Mm.
Because so many things were either unexplainable or like
passed over.
And if you made grounded that episode and made it realistic, it would have been a rose and a half, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It just was a lot of bullshit. Bullshit factor was high on that one for me. I think we should have a bullshit factor score. Death and save count. How many people got saved? How many died? One dead. Martha pronounced dead. Count it. Are we counting it? Even though she comes back? She didn't die if she didn't die, Bryce.
But she did die.
Well, she's also with child. Did the child die?
Oh, yeah. She's with child. Would that be two dies? Two deaths? Oh, to die happening. Or not to die? That is the question.
A big political issue in a lot of states. So maybe we pass. Maybe we just pass that one.
Two saves. Ship saves Martha and Clark. And I guess also Martha's baby.
And everyone in the hospital.
But it's not a baby yet. It's not born. So it's not alive. Well, it's alive in her.
Girl, now we know.
Anyway,
we know where you stand.
No, that's not what I meant. Through 16 episodes in season 2, 25 dead.
Ryan's just like,
28 saved. Let me say that again cleanly. Through 16 episodes in season 2, 25 dead, 28 saved. Series, 55 dead, 63 saved. Ryan's favorite scene. What is it?
Yeah.
You got it written down?
I do. I mean, this is, again, it was a half rose.
He doesn't have one. I guarantee he doesn't have one in this episode.
No, he has it. He always has one.
I got little numbers.
Okay. Listen,
but there's no favorite scene.
Here we go.
All right. It's tough to do, but I'm going to give you three scenes.
And don't be ambiguous on all of them.
All right. Scene one, pushing the truck out of the ditch. Scene two, the needle. Scene three, spaceship heals Martha.
I mean, because he was talking about the needle and it grosses him out. So he either loves that or he doesn't love that. And then there's that whole saving Martha. Oh my, that's a tough one because.
Wow, these are surprisingly, this is tough because I really love seeing them put
trying
to push
the truck
out.
Don't say
if it's
not tough or not. You don't say anything, Ryan. Damn it.
Ryan already brought up the syringe. He did because I did discuss that I actually took the syringe. Man, this is actually tougher than I thought. I didn't think there were any good scenes in this episode.
I have mine.
All right, you go.
You go first.
No, you go because I'm just gonna say what you said.
No, I don't want you to say what I said. That's not fair.
I'm just gonna go with what I think. I did really like seeing Pete with the cut on his face.
Okay.
Trying to push the truck out and then the DCA or whatever they call it, cruising by all, like that was like, felt like a movie. It was like a cinematic event. So I'm going to go with that one.
Yeah.
You're going with that one. I'm going with the needle. And here's why. Because it wasn't about the needle. It was about, we're going to find Clark's powers and we're going to see it. Oh my God. And it kept you on edge. And then boom, it went in. That's what I'm going to say. Ryan?
I think we're both wrong.
What? Are you crazy? How am I wrong in this?
It's Martha.
The hospital.
It's a bigger thing.
Yeah, but this time I decided on it beforehand, and that's what we did. We weren't shitting on it before, but I that was the scene I remembered the most. Having watched this spaceship. Look, I'm playing by the rules now. Oh my God, this is dramatic.
All right. That's it for this episode. Stick around next week as we talk about one of the best episodes of the entire series, season 2, episode 17, Rosetta. We have some amazing guests that you don't want to miss. And let's take the discussion online. Let us know your thoughts on the episode over on our socials at Talkville Podcast or Talkville Pod. Show support, please, by joining Patreon to help the show continue. Patreon.com/Talkville. We don't have a lot of sponsors, so we rely on our patrons who love the show to keep it going. If you want more information like merch from the show or hotline number, you can find all that in the description. There are only 5 of those pieces of art left out of 55. There's 5 left. You want to get them now. They might already be gone. And the Lex Luthor statues are on the Inside of You store. Online store. It's
called I've already ordered one.
Inside of You online store. They're really cool. They're made of bronze. Remember, most importantly, folks, always hold on to Smallville. Thomas, Ryan, good seeing you.
Bye.
Thank you, gentlemen.
All right, time for our top tier patron shout outs. Join patreon.com/Talkville and we'll shout your name out. We love you. We love reading these names. Everybody is so familiar and we couldn't do it without you. Here we go. Nikki G, Lee Ann P, Raj C, Janine R, Santiago M. I actually know all their last names too. I could just say them right now, but I won't. Leah S, Little Lisa, Thomas the Leaf Blower. He had a question on the last episode. Sophie M, Betsy D, Abby P, Ray H, Karen Apple M, Danielle B, 99 more, Lalani N, Brett G, always hold on to Smallville. Estevan G, DJ Kento, Garrett W, Kimberly L, Tom N, Tony V, Rodolfo V, Jason W, Osama A, Lana, rhymes with banana, W, Nancy D, and Brian G.
Sarah W, Justin T, and Lucy O. Amanda R, Teddy 127, Michael P, Ryan R, Jordan M, not M Jordan, which was from the Bulls, Hillary B, Ram L B, Craig G, Christy R, Karen P, Derek G, thanks for the question today, Jor L, Richard S, Heather and Greg, Nico P, I made Talkville say butts, Brian H, Eric K, Clark's mom, Kristen B, Takashi M,
Kevin E. That's his new nickname. Hi, Kevin-y. You're Kevin-y-like. Nanine W, Stephanie K, Darth Achilles, Finky, Mickey is in her heiress era. Heiress era. I don't get it.
Mikey? You Mickey? Get it?
Steve?
It was a Taylor Swift reference. I don't know. What
yeah. Thanks, Mickey, for that. I'm not aware of today's current events. Steve
I'm glad Ryan knows that.
Damn. For now on, when I say, damn, who's that? We all three have to say it each time, like after each other. So I'll say it first. Damn, who's that?
Damn, who's that?
Oh, Ryan's on a camera. Jeanette E, Deadvid, Allison H, General Zod, The Daily Planet Goes to 11, Ericelli's R, Big D, Doug R, Tommy Z, Boston 68, Ken K.
Isabel, Corey L, Ivy and Sam, Mr. Home Arcade, Amanda K, Jesse C, Lumberjack, Claire M, D Brown, Joshua W, Alice, Be Kind, Please Rewind. Karen Era M. Karen Era M. Eldon Supremo, Leslie V, Tatiana S, Robert G, Natalia G, Julia Jules, McBurts, Ginger Moose, I can say that right, Christoph S, Katie B, Michelle M, Drew, Like Mike is enjoying Talkville. Little Mike is enjoying Talkville.
Brittany S, Jared. Marisol P, Veronica Q, Sebastian F, Cheryl H, Nick M, Kolpa Vombat Prikolny.
Thank you for keeping it simple.
Matthew B, David G, the Chief. Couldn't do it without you. We love you. Thanks again for listening to Talkville. Tommy, I'll see you later.